This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة All praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped. None has the right to our ultimate love and devotion but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of submission and Islam to your Creator. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, that's Adam. And from him he created his wife, Hawa. And from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and observe the rights of your kins. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best speech is the speech of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance that came from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst thing in the religion are the newly invented matters. For all the newly invented matters in religion are considered to be innovation and bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. And it leads to the hellfire. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his concern for his creation, he has opened so many ways of goodness for us to reach out to him, to make our way to paradise, to find a connection between ourselves and Allah. And he has made these paths to goodness so diversified and so different that everyone in this creation, everyone among humanity, finds something that appeals to them, something that draws them in, something that resonates with the call of their heart, and it resonates with their natural tendencies. So you will find some people who find in learning Islam and seeking knowledge and teaching it their primary pathway to paradise. Allah has made knowledge the sort of the highway for them that leads them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For other people, Allah granted them the tendency to worship Allah, to recite Qur'an day and night, and to remain in a constant state of remembrance and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find them worshipping Allah day and night. So they find solace and they find peace in prayer in the day and in the night. Whereas you'll find other people, that their goodness and their excellence manifests most when they give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they provide to others, when they give from their own wealth to others. Whereas you will find others as well who find their connection with Allah by helping out others in different ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created humans different. Each one is different. Different tendencies, different orientations, different backgrounds, different upbringings and so on and so forth. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also provided different ways of goodness. Different ways of goodness for each one of them. And if you consider the state of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would find some of them have excelled in knowledge. Like Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. All these great companions excelled in knowledge, in teaching and learning and growing in knowledge and spreading knowledge. Whereas you will find others like Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu and Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. These companions, their excellence showed in giving sadaqah and giving in charity, giving away some of their wealth, sometimes all of their wealth, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where you will find other companions excelled in the battlefield, like Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu, and so on and so forth. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had different areas of excellence, because Islam provides for each one. Islam has something for each one of us. There is a common denominator among all of us, and that's we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We live our life in love of Allah. And we pray the 5 daily prayers at least. These are the obligatory prayers. We fast Ramadan altogether. We pay zakah from our surplus money. And we perform hajj when we are able to do this. So this is a common denominator. And we abstain from whatever is haram. This is a common denominator. But still for each one of us, there's an area of excellence that Islam opens a new platform for, where you can utilize it and you can excel So we would have equal opportunities to excel for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come closer to Him. So one of the great doors or gateways into paradise and into connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great field and a great act of worship that characterizes Muslims throughout the ages. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran when He says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah that the example of those who give away some of their wealth for the sake of Allah, who spend in the sake of Allah, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a stalk of wheat or like a grain of wheat. When it is used when it is planted in the earth or in the soil, it brings about 7 stalks of wheat. And each one of them contains 100 grains, and that's 700 in total. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah duplicates for whomever He wills. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, الصَّدَقَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَىٰ سَبْعِ مِئَةِ ضِعْفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies each good deed, every good deed that you do, every hasana, every type of goodness that you do for the sake of Allah, Allah will multiply it by 10 times. Up to 700 times. That's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anyone who spends for Allah. And there is something about goodness and about paying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet ﷺ was described, as Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس. The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of people. He was the most giving among all humanity. So he would give from himself to the extent that when every time he got a gift, every time some kind of income came to him, he would straight away spend it around and spread it around the people who were in need. He never kept anything for himself. And the Prophet ﷺ was giving as if he never feared poverty. He never feared lack. Because giving for the sake of Allah shows that you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the secret behind sadaqah. Is that you trust in Allah. Because we tend to trust what we can see with our own eyes. And what we can feel with our own skin. And with our own hands. That's what we tend to, we say, I will only believe in it when I see it or when I feel it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping us go beyond that. And He is saying, when you spend for the sake of Allah, so you give up some of what you see and what you touch and what you feel. You give it, but you trust that you are getting more, although you can't see it and you can't feel it. But you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one of the most important points about sadaqah and makes it excellent and it stands out among all the other acts of worship. Because you're giving what you are confident about. You're giving that away. And you trust that Allah will give you more even though you don't see it and you don't feel it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, or three things, ثَلَاثَةٌ أَقْسَمَ عَلَيْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Three things the Prophet ﷺ made, he swore about, he made an oath about, he said, وَاللَّهِ, these things are true. One of them he said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٌ. A wealth of a person. When that person gives sadaqah, it will never decrease. It will never go down. Although you're giving from what you have, but you are not losing. And that's one of the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. Now if you count it in numbers, you will find maybe the numbers went less. And this is where the trust comes in. That I see my wealth in numbers decreasing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it will never go down. So what's the meaning there? The meaning there is that you trust that Allah will give it to you back. Or Allah has already given it to you in different shapes and different forms, but it doesn't count with those numbers. And that's where the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows. Yes, there's a great excellence in helping out others who are in need, and in spending your money in ways that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the most important aspect of sadaqah is that you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah to show us the competition and the two opposite influences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shaitan himself. And you are the battlefield. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan promises you lack and poverty. So when you want to spend, shaitan will say, you have children. Shaitan will say, you're planning to buy a house. Shaitan will say, you're planning to buy a car. You're planning to go on a vacation. You want to get this. You're saving money for this. Maybe something bad will happen. Maybe you will need a surgery next month. Or maybe something bad, you will get an accident, you will lose your wealth. So why not save it? Make some savings. Shaitan promises you, he says, if you pay for the sake of Allah, if you spend from your money, then you will not get it back. You will become poor. And you will struggle yourself. الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. Shaitan promises you poverty. And this is how he manipulates us. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ And he commands you to do acts of lewdness and acts of evil. وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا And Allah promises you bounty from Him, gifts from Him, more from Him, and forgiveness. So these are the influences on us when we are about to give sadaqah. There is an influence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. It's an inspiration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you more from His gifts, more from His blessings, and promises you forgiveness. Whereas shaitan is whispering to the opposite effect, and he is saying, you will become poorer, you will need this money, use it for yourself, use it on your children, use it, go and buy something, treat yourself, and so on and so forth. So which call are we going to respond to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most generous, as Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu describes. The most generous among people. And then, it's also reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ In the same hadith, وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ The most generous the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever was, would be in Ramadan. Would be in Ramadan. Why? Because in Ramadan, all the acts of worship, every act of goodness is being multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ in so many hadith encouraged us to do sadaqah. Encouraged us to pay for the sake of Allah. So when you find someone or you get to know about someone who is in need, don't see it as a burden. Don't look at it in negative light. See it as an opportunity for you to spend. This is an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has opened for you so you can support this person and you can get a way into paradise. It's an opportunity. That's how we are supposed to see this kind of thing. And sometimes people might say, you know, when I become richer, when I have 100,000, when I have 500,000, when I have a million, I will start giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet the Prophet ﷺ debunked this kind of logic that it comes from shaitan when he said, سَبَقَ دِرْهَمٌ مِئَةَ أَلْفِ دِرْهَمٌ One dirham in sadaqah, in charity, $1 with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preceded and has superseded $100,000. $100,000 dirham. How is this? The commentators on the hadith explain that a person pays from a position of lack and poverty. Their wealth, let's say, is $5. That's all they have. Or it's a dollar itself. And he gives his all wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of his wealth, it's $1. Or it's $100. He gives it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has spent 100% of his wealth for the sake of Allah, and that shows a high level of trust. Like the Prophet ﷺ one day called the companions for sadaqah. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, today I shall do better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because they used to compete in goodness. So he brought half of his wealth. Half of his wealth he brought it to the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what did you leave for your family? That was a substantial amount of money or wealth. He said, I left half of it, O Messenger of Allah. I left similar to that. Half of my wealth, I left it back home. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he brought a substantial amount of money. The Prophet said, what did you leave for yourself and your family? He said, I left Allah and His Messenger. I left that. So his whole wealth, he brought it and he gave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar al-Khattab said, I will never be able to compete with you. That's a level I can't reach. That's a high level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not everyone is capable of doing this, and we should know the level of our iman as well. So Abu Bakr had this absolute certainty and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there was no issue that he gives his wealth for the sake of Allah. Because according to the level of your trust in Allah, Allah will pay you back. Allah will pay you back. Allah will never let you down. Based on how much you trust Allah, Allah is going to treat you. As he says in al-Hadith al-Qudusi, in the Divine Hadith, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي فَلْيَظُنَّ عَبْدِي بِي مَا شَاءَ. I am to my servant as he or she thinks of me. So let them think about me whatever they want. You believe Allah is going to pay you back, this will turn into a reality. But we don't trust Allah enough to see this as a reality in our lives. We're stuck in our comfort zone. We don't want to push beyond the boundaries to see these kind of miracles happening in our lives. We don't want to see this. We don't want to see it. We don't trust enough. But the people who put their trust in Allah, they are the ones who know that. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu anhu, he used to be among the most generous among the companions. And he said, I reached a point in my life that if I turn over a stone, if I'm just walking down the way and I find a stone and turn it over, I'll find wealth and money underneath. Because when you give, Allah's going to give you back. But you just have to trust. You just have to trust. Someone came to Al-Hasan al-Basri and he said, you give for the sake of Allah, you guys give for the sake of Allah, but I have given something for the sake of Allah and I haven't received it back. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, I've been giving for the sake of Allah and I've been receiving more back. So try it out. He said, I'm going to try out again. So he gives away for the sake of Allah, then he comes back later on to Al-Hasan al-Basri and he says, I've given more for the sake of Allah and haven't received back. Al-Hasan al-Basri, I've given more and I received back. But I give out of certainty. You give and you're trying Allah out. You're testing Allah. You're testing Allah out. You want to see if He gives you back or not. But I don't take this attitude. I give and I'm in a state of certainty it's going to come back, so I don't have any questions, any doubts about it. I don't even think about it. It's already there in my heart. That's the difference. That's the difference. When you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the time your wealth will never decrease, when you give for the sake of Allah. Because Allah is not after our wealth. He doesn't need our wealth. It comes from Him. And it's nothing. All of this is nothing. In the Hadith al-Qudusi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if all of humanity, all of the creation, the first and the last of them, gather all together on one landscape in front of me, and each one of them asks me for whatever they want, and I give each one of them everything they want, it will never reduce my dominion. Except like when you bring a needle, and you put it in an ocean, and you take it back. How much does it take from the ocean? That's what everything humanity and all the creation could ask for from Allah. If He gives it to them, this is what it reduces the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah doesn't need our wealth. But what Allah needs from you is your heart. That you trust Him, that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you trust. So from now on, any kind of opportunity for you to spend for the sake of Allah, see it in the beautiful light. That it's an opportunity for you to grow in faith. It's an opportunity for you to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and demonstrate your trust. It's an opportunity for you to get more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to grow your wealth. See it in your mind's eye. See it in your heart and it will become a reality. It's one of those things that you will only see it when you believe it. It will only become a reality when you truly believe in it. And that's the power of faith. And that's the power of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم من كل ذنب فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu describes, he was the most generous among people, and in Ramadan he was the most generous ever. He was more generous. And كان كالريح المرسلة, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was like the wind that would bring with it rain after drought. So, and this kind of rain it sort of makes it up for years of drought at once. So the Prophet ﷺ, he would not even hold back some of his wealth to give it later on for the sake of Allah. He would give it all at once. And Aisha radiallahu anha learned from him. So later on in her life, when some money came to her, a substantial amount of money came to her, she started distributing it straight away. And when the end of the day came, Maghrib time came, one of her servants said to her, "I wish you left some money for us to buy food with." She said, "You should have reminded me, I forgot. A huge amount of money. Well, we're talking about wealth, something in the thousands or the tens of thousands. The Maghrib, the end of the day, did not come until she had distributed everything she had received. She gave it for the sake of Allah. She even forgot about herself. She forgot to leave something for them to buy food that day. That shows you the level of trust. It shows you the level of trust. She knows Allah is going to give them back. She doesn't care about that. She has no concerns about her not being able to provide for herself or for whomever she is responsible for. And that's the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this month of Ramadan, and I know that this community has been extremely generous throughout the years. And I've seen this year in and year out. I've been visiting here a few times and I've seen the generosity of this community. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for that and increase you in that. And when I see some of the younger ones have memorized the Qur'an, they have learned the Qur'an. When I see people come and pray in this masjid, when I see new non-Muslims come here and ask about Islam and some of them take their shahada, it goes through my mind that anyone who spent anything, who contributed to this masjid, to this Islamic center, inshallah is getting a reward of this. They are completely heedless about it. They have no clue what is happening. You don't know that one of the younger brothers has memorized the Qur'an. That someone has someone who was passing by, he came and he prayed salah because he was in the vicinity. He came and he prayed. And he doesn't usually pray, but he heard some word or he liked the atmosphere here. And he gets hooked up to the masjid. He comes to learn Islam and comes to learn more about Islam. So he becomes more regular in his prayers and he learns more Quran and so on and so forth. Anyone who contributed here, they're getting this reward coming them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the types of a sadaqah al-jariyah. So alhamdulillah, this community has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by so many opportunities to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opportunity brings itself and yields itself over and over again every year. And that's an opportunity again in Ramadan. In Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we have come more than halfway in purchasing the building next door. And if we push ourselves a little bit more, we are hoping, this is not a promise, but we are hoping that we will be able to pray Taraweeh next year in that building. We're hoping that this will happen. And you've seen those who come to pray Taraweeh here, that we struggle with this space. Sometimes we have to take the imam into the imam's office, where they lead the prayer, and then we have to shift and so on and so forth. And people sometimes have to pray outside. And the sisters as well struggle. So inshallah, once we move to the next door building, we'll do once and for all with this kind of problem. And the imam will be more comfortable, because even the imam, it's not easy for him to lead a prayer in an office and keep switching or shifting from one place to the other. It's very uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable sometimes, it gets really tight here as well where people struggle. Our youth as well. And this is a daily struggle that I have with the brothers who work in the masjid. In order to get the youth more into the masjid, you need to provide them with facilities. Facilities like a gym, facilities like a swimming pool, where we can do activities without having to use the same room for multi-purposes. And that's what we do here in this masjid. In the morning it's a school, then afterwards it's a playground, then afterwards it's a place for the prayer, then it's a place for giving classes, and then it's sometimes places for socialization. So we have to use the same place for multiple purposes, and this creates a lot of confusion sometimes, conflicts in schedule and so on and so forth. And we can't get as much or as many as possible of our youth sometimes, of our children, to do proper activities. But the facility next door has a lot of these facilities that we lack. And we struggle with the youth, because you can't keep teaching the youth when you bring them from the streets. You can't keep bombarding them with verses and a hadith and so on and so forth. They need some fun. And we want the fun. Instead of them going to other gyms, instead of them going to other playgrounds, they can do their sports here within an Islamic environment, where when the salah comes, they all go and make wudu and they pray in the masjid. And these are our youth. And we've seen a lot of our youth are having faith crisis. Why? Because there's no good environment for them. They want to work out, they want to do some sport, they have to go to places where they are exposed to things that take them away from their deen. Where there is no good manners, where they hear a lot of bad words, where they get exposed and they get to know bad company as well, that has bad influence on them. But we want to create an environment where we are able to maintain our youth and provide them with the needs that they have. And we also need a facility when non-Muslims, when government agencies, when schools come around, we are able to show them a proper kind of structure of a masjid. Because this place was offices. This place was offices. It was done to the best of the ability of the organizers here to accommodate a prayer area or prayer hall. But when you have a place that was designed for worship and with some kind of refurbishment, they would see a proper structure of a masjid. They would see a more organized kind of setup where the masjid is. They can see the prayer area, they can see the community area, they can see the sisters' area, they can also see the classrooms, they can also see different things. Everything is well organized, everything is clean, everything is in place. But here we keep changing, switching things, and subhanAllah. But this has been a great contribution from our community. Now we want to stretch it a bit more. And what we want to do is start to, because this year we have not done a proper or substantial kind of collection for this project. And we know by the end of the year we have to pay 1.5 million. And if we can do this, hopefully, inshallah, we can push it a bit more. So hopefully, inshallah, I'm hoping, through your contributions, that we will be able to get the place by next Ramadan. Hopefully, as I said, it's not a promise, but it's a hope. And inshallah, it's a strong hope. So inshallah, you're invited today to contribute after the salah. Whatever pledge forms that you can take, or whatever you can commit, or whatever small cash that you can have. One of the companions, radiallahu anhu, said, when the verse for sadaqah was revealed, some of us did not find money. So what we did, we went to the market, and we worked in labor. We did a few hours of labor work. And we took our wages and we gave them for the sake of Allah. They didn't have anything to give, so they didn't want to miss the opportunity. So they did some extra work, specifically to earn money and give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they did. So they used to go to the market, do labor work. Some of them were not even used to it. In order to take this small money or the small wage and just give it completely for the sake of Allah. So this kind of spirit, that's what we Muslims are supposed, inshallah, to have. And I believe a lot of us have this. And it's simple. I mean, the equation, mathematical equation is simple. And I will close with this, inshallah, that what we need is 500 people. And it's not difficult. 500 people, each one of them donates $2,000. It's as simple as that. Most of us who work and who have jobs are able to comfortably, inshallah, each year to offer $2,000. 500 people offer $2,000 will cover most of the expenses. And that would be a great contribution. Even if you can't do this, partner up with someone else. If you can't do it, you don't find someone to partner up with, whatever you can give, still give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not ever belittle the sadaqah, even if it's too small. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grow it for you. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن لهم حق علينا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم صن أعراضهم اللهم احفظ عليهم دينهم وإيمانهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى اللهم وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد